You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony.
You were going to stand up, right?
Yeah. I always do go for the commercial jugular, and this is my most commercial book. It's a lesbian romance in a communist future.
Sounds hot to me.
Basically, they're communist because climate change was so severe; it's the only way they could survive. But the two lesbian lovers are don't know it because nobody else is lesbian. They've managed to cure it. And her girlfriend happens to be from a family that have mingled their genes with that of polar bears so they can mine the Antarctic. And it's about the only cold place left on Earth, except, of course, for where they live. And I'd just like you to meet my main character.
Rolf is going to help me.
We've been together now since 1985.
So poor Milena, Yelena Shibush, is about this high, doughty, not unlike somebody I know, and dramatic, is stomping into the GE's house in West Kensington, but they don't normally live there. So he knocks on the door and opens up. There's a blast of icy air. And a girl, who's completely furred, takes one hardened look at Milena. Rolfa, your little friend's here. Then she walked away, leaving the door open. It was bitterly cold inside. All the walls between the houses, all along the street, had been knocked down to make one enormous barren room that ran the length of the street. A large male GE in a metal mask was squatting over a machine, welding a join. Milena had time to notice the floor was covered in fur. Shut the door! There was an angry thumping, and the girl stalked past Milena and flung the door shut. It makes our air fall out, you little squidge. Rolfa! Slump your fat touche down here. The room was full of unopened bamboo packing cases. Polar teenagers lounged on them, watching a screen. It was showing an old movie. Milena couldn't help but stare in wonder. There was a flash and a mechanical scream, and Milena saw someone torn to pieces before her very eyes. Why on earth, she wondered, would you have that machine and use it to watch something like that? What are you staring at? Asked the GE, another boy, his voice cracking on the edge of puberty like an egg. Nothing, said Milena.
She's never seen a movie, said the girl, and rolled her eyes.
They're grooming each other. There's frost inside the windows, and Rolfa appears at the top of the staircase. For the first time ever in her entire life, in Milena's honor, she's wearing a dress, or trying to. And she looked like an unsteady column of crumpled satin. She began her descent, clutching the handrail, stumbling, swaying. Her feet kept catching on the inside of her hem, making frantic motions within it like trapped rabbits. Rolfa, lift the dress up, Milena willed silently. Rolfa's hair had been brushed back out of her eyes and was held up by two pink resin butterfly clips that looked like lopsided ears. Braving the distance between the staircase and Milena, Rolfa held out something soft and black. It was a fur to keep her warm. Well, they go into a beautiful dining room with tables and chandeliers and paintings on the walls. And the only thing poor Milena can think of is that she's seeing capitalism as was. She has the thought that perhaps all of them are working for the GEs, the genetically engineered as well. It also stinks of fish. And as she waits, a door swung open and a polar female walked in backwards. She wore a billowing orange dress and carried a kind of porcelain cistern in front of her, a vat of food. "Hiya, Squidge," she said to Milena. The tone was not unfriendly. She put the cistern on the table and reached into the bodice of her dress. You want some mitts?
Oh, yes, please, said Milena in a rush.
Thought you might. She rumpled her lip in Rolf's direction. Here you go. Milena unwound the gloves, fingers trembling. They were gloves designed for counting money in Antarctic blizzards. There were no tips to the fingers. They looked utterly indigent, as if they'd been half-eaten by moths.
That's my sister, Zoe, said Rolf.
Yo, Milena, said Zoe. Milena was too cold to answer. Zoe left, shaking her head as if it wasn't Milena's fault that she'd been brought there. As she went out, another sister came in. She was even bigger, and her cheeks were flexed with the effort of keeping down a grin. She looked at Milena and Rolfa, nearly dropped two tubs of food on the table, and ran out. From behind the swinging doors, there came a shriek of laughter. It was followed by spurts and whisperings.
That's Angela, said Rolf.
Milena sat down. The table was on a level with her chin. The two sisters re-entered, a matching pair batting their long black eyelashes at each other over the top of fluttering Japanese fans. They lowered themselves gracefully onto chairs, spreading napkins over their laps. Zoe's hair was wrapped around a hoop to make a glossy, flowing arch around the back of her head, Navajo style. Milena's viruses told her it was Navajo. I like your hair, she said. Do you? Beamed Zoe, lowering her fan. She batted her eyelashes. Do you like my mustache as well? Then Milena saw that her mustache had also been wrapped around hoops, one at each end. I used to have the same trouble with mine, said Milena, with a flash of instinct. The eyelashes stopped batting. Only now I shaved mine off. There was a click behind Milena and a kind of surly grunt. Milena turned to see a short GE. He was rotund and bristling like a hedgehog, his cheeks puffed out as if enraged. He was punching keys on a small device that made a whizzing sound and printed out a result on paper. He climbed up onto an especially high chair, tore off a piece of paper, and attached it to his fur with a hair grip. He was decorated with bits of accountancy like a Christmas tree. We go to eat, he asked, and went back to punching keys. Yes, of course, Papa, said Angela, standing up. She lifted off the lid of a giant dish with a kind of malicious flair. It rang. They were going to eat a seal. A whole roast seal. Its eyes had gone white, and it was surrounded with a moat of amber fat. Rolf's father reached forward and began to thumb out one of its eyes. Papa, exclaimed Angela, please remember our guest. You want an eye, Squidge? Yes, please, Milena said crisply. He passed it to her on a plate. It rolled. Her eyes stonily on Angela, Milena popped it into her mouth. It's a grape, she told herself. It's just a grape. It crunched as she chewed it. Of course, we're on our best behavior because of you, Miss Smashpuss, said Angela, as she began to carve the seal. Usually we tear the hot carcass to pieces with our bare paws. With deft aplomb, she lowered a section of seal fillet onto Milena's plate without letting fall a single drop of grease. Some wine, Miss Shambosh? We make it ourselves, out of leftovers. I do hope you like it. Oh, don't mind me, said Milena. I'll drink anything. If you're friends with Rolfa, said Zoe, you probably have to. Angela went on serving. Now share, she said to her sister. I ought to tell you, incidentally, that Milena is an actress, and being hard-working minors, of course, they're taking the piss of how they think actors speak. Ma chère, you have let slip your napkin. She sliced the word in half like an orange's joke. They were making fun of Rolfa, of squidges, of the way they thought squidges thought of them. You're merry gals, thought Milena. That's no reason to let you get away with anything. Do try not to blow your nose on it this time, ma petite.
Do you know Miss Fishfuss? The last time she let slip her napkin, she picked it up and blew her nose on it. And it turned out to be the hem of my dress. Well, said Milena, better than wiping her ass on it.
You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony.